The Siam Kunda, Radha Kunda, Girigo Vridan Ki Jai, Vrindavanam Ki Jai, Maturidam Ki Jai, Navadeepdam Ki Jai, Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai, Yamunamai Ki Jai, Srimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 7th chapter, text 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Arayaha Wealth Kalatram One's wife and feminine friends Pashavaha Domestic animals like Cows, horses, asses, cats and dogs Sutta Adayaha, children and so on. Graha, big buildings and residences. Mahi, land. Kunjara, elephants. Kosha, treasury house. Bhutayaha, and other luxuries for sense gratification. And material enjoyment. Sarve, all. Artha, economic development. Kamaha, and sense gratification. Kshana bonguru, gura, sorry. Perishable in a moment. Ayushaha, of one whose duration of life. Kuranti, effect or bring. Marchasya, of one who is destined to die. Kiyat, how much? Priyam, pleasure. Chalaha, flickering and temporary. It's a heavy verse. Maybe we should not record this one. One's riches, beautiful wife and female friends, one's son and daughters, one's residence, one's domestic animals like cows, elephants, and horses, one's treasury, economic development, and sense gratification, even the lifetime in which one can enjoy all these material opulences, are certainly temporary and flickering. Since the opportunity of human life is temporary, what benefit can these material opulences give to a sensible man who has understood himself to be eternal? So you can repeat. One's richest beautiful wife,
one's richest, beautiful wife
and female friends,
female
one's sons and daughters,
one's residence,
one's domestic animals like cows, elephants and horses, one's treasury, economic development, and sense gratification. Indeed, even the lifetime in which one can enjoy all these material opulences are certainly temporary and flickering. Since the opportunity of human life is temporary, what benefit can these material opulences give to a sensible man who has understood himself to be eternal? So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This verse describes how the advocates of economic development are frustrated by the laws of nature. As the previous verse asks, Kim Vishayo Pa Padanahai, what is the actual benefit of so-called economic development? The history of the world has actually proved, factually proved, that attempts to increase economic development for bodily comfort through the advancement of material civilization have done nothing to remedy the inevitability of birth, death, old age, and disease. Everyone has knowledge of huge empires throughout the history of the world, the Roman Empire, the Mughal Empire, the British Empire, and so on, but all the societies engaged in such economic development, sarve arta kamaha, have been frustrated by the laws of nature through periodic wars, pestilence, famine, and so on. Thus, all their attempts have been flickering and temporary. In this verse, therefore, it is said, Kurvanti marchasya kiyat priyam jalaha. One may be very proud of possessing a vast empire, but such empires are impermanent. After 100 or 200 years, everything is finished. All such positions of economic development, although created with great endeavor and hardship, are vanquished very soon. Therefore, they have been described as chalaha. An intelligent man should conclude that material economic development is not at all pleasing. The entire world is described in Bhagavad Gita as dukhalayam ashashvatam, miserable and temporary. Economic development may be pleasing for some time, but it cannot endure. Thus, many big businessmen are now very morose because they are being harassed by various plundering governments. In conclusion, why should one waste his time for so-called economic development, which is neither permanent nor pleasing to the soul? On the other hand, our relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternal, nitya siddha Krishna prema. The pure souls are eternally in love with Krishna, and this permanent love, either as a servant, a friend, a parent, or a conjugal lover, is not at all difficult to revive. Especially in this age, the concession is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, one revives his original relationship with God and thus becomes so happy that he does not want anything material. As enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Dhanam, the Janam, the Sundarim, Kavitang va jagadisha kamaye. A very advanced devotee in Krishna consciousness does not want riches, followers, or possessions. Raya kalatram vashava shutadayo raha mahi kunjra kosha bhutiyaha. The satisfaction of possessing material opulences, although perhaps of a different standard, is available even in the lives of dogs and hogs, who cannot revive their eternal relationship with Krishna. In human life, however, our eternal dormant relationship with Krishna is possible to revive. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj has described this life as arthadam. Consequently, instead of wasting our time for economic development, which cannot give us any happiness, if we simply try to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna, we will properly utilize our lives. Heavy purport. So, Raya kalatram pashava sutadayo grahamahi kunjurako shabutiyaha sarerta kama kshana bhangura yusha kurvanti marchasya kiyat priham chalaha. So, Omagana timiranda sha gananjana shilakaya chakshur meditam. Yena tasmai shri gurave maha. So, this same truth that's being mentioned here in the Srimad Bhagavatam has been recognized by many intelligent people throughout the ages. You have William Shakespeare, for example, that says, life's a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more. And then even before Shakespeare, like about 500 B.C., there was this famous pre-Socratic philosopher, his name was Heraclitus. And he said, you can't step into the same river twice. In other words, time flows. And everything keeps changing. The material energy is endlessly mutable. So we see, you know, all intelligent people understand this particular point, that things are changing and you shouldn't try to grasp something that's temporary. And of course, Bhagavatam deals with this in quite a few places. One verse that I'm reminded of when I read this particular verse here is second canto, first chapter, text 4, the famous verse that Deha Patra Kala Tradishu, Atma Shainesh, Satvapi, Tesham Pramata Nedanam, Pashandapi, Napashyati. You can look that up. That's Bhagavatam 2.1.4. And this verse, you know, very important verse. And same, it says exactly the same thing. Deha, this body. Apacha, that means the etc. is the children. The children. Kalatra, Adishu, wife. And Ishu, Adishu means like the etc. Everything goes along with that because... I don't know if I should give a sannyas class. Anyway, so just like this is one of our favorite verses that you know, you put two people together and it's you know, add one and one and you get 100. You understand? Like I used to give a class like this, that if you get two people, let's say the brahmachari has one box of belongings and the lady has another box of belongings in the ashram, you put them together and you get a moving van. So, I mean, it happens like that, and things expand in this material world. So anyway, so, Deha Patra Kala Tradishu, and this word, Atma Shainayishu, that means the Atma, the self, Atma is the self, Shainayishu means soldiers. So we have these soldiers to protect us, and we're not only talking about, you know, the family life, but we have other soldiers like our bank account, modern science. I mean, just like yesterday, I was driving and I went past the new hospital, UNC Hospital, and it gave me a sense of security. You understand what I'm talking about? I said, oh, there's a hospital nearby, and it's clean and it's new, and I felt protected. So that's an Atma Shaneshu there. Because I was thinking, wow, you know, anyway, I'll be protected by those nice doctors and nurses. And actually, even it's illusion, even from a material perspective, because mainly it's a business enterprise based upon squeezing every last penny they can out of some poor, unsuspecting patients and they're in cahoots with the pharmaceutical industry. Anyway, so... But still, you know, we get this sense of security. Atma Shainishu, you know, the soldiers, you get a sense of security from seeing all these fallible soldiers, whether it's a bank account or a house. I mean, just like recently, there's been a lot of rain here in North Carolina and people's houses have been sort of washed away. Many people's houses have been washed away. And even in California, where people are richer than they are in North Carolina, and they have these big houses on the hill. I mean, during the rainy season, there's these landslides. So big walls of mud come in, and this, you know, home sweet home, comfortable place. And you know, what to speak of the body. You know, we have all these plans. Like I spend so much time learning about good health, how to eat nicely. You know, and sauerkraut and you know, all this healthy stuff, no sugar, and I'm thinking, I'm going to be strong, this body is good. But even if I do that, and I am doing that, I mean, we do have to make some endeavor in this world. We don't want to take this to an extreme. That's something I want to mention at the end. But even if I do that, then still the time factor will overcome me eventually. I mean, like we often say when we're giving lectures that in spite of all modern science advancements, the death rate is 100% and always will be 100%. And, you know, modern science especially, they're endeavoring to prolong life or keep people going for a long time. Even I remember there was one famous personality, Walt Disney. Some of you may remember him. He had his body frozen, you know, cryogenics. And the idea, he had cancer or something like that. And the idea is when they found a cure for the disease, they would defrost him. Unfortunately, I think the electricity went off and he got defrosted prematurely.
All that is,
what's that?
All those things have completely collapsed.
Yeah, all those things have collapsed. But the soul's gone. The point is the soul's gone. I mean, you could just like defrost the body and somehow or other get the technology so you don't get all these ice crystals to destroy all the organs in the body at the same time. I mean, they may fill the veins with some other fluid so you don't get ice crystals. But, yeah, and they may preserve the body perfectly, but the person's not coming back to life. So it's just this inexorable time factor. So anyway, Dehapacha Kalatradishu, Atmasainesh, Asat Papi. So these are temporary soldiers. Asat means temporary soldiers. But we're an illusion thinking these things are going to protect us, which is really crazy. And then the last part of the verse is Tesham Pramato, of them who are attached. Pramato means very attached, basically. Like Prabhupada would often, Prakriti, Rupena, Jayate, Pramata means still more crazy or still more attached. Prabhupada would actually define it in that way. Not in the translation. Not in the translation of this particular verse, but in other places Prabhupada would define the word pramata as very attached or extremely attached. Nidanam. They do not see the destruction coming. Even in spite of having experience. Just like that verse in the Mahabharata, Ahani Ahani, Bhutani, Gachantiya, Yamalayam, right? That we see everybody going to Yamaraj. Practically every day I'm getting an email message about someone who I'm preaching to or some family member that's passed away. Yesterday I got a message like that. I have to send condolences practically every day. So we have this experience that people are dying. And then the most wonderful thing, according to Yudhisthira Maharaj in the Mahabharata, is Hani Hani Bhutini Gachanti Yamalayam, that I'm seeing everybody go to Yamaraj, but I'm thinking, what? Not me. Not me. Everybody else will go, I'm going to go to your funeral, your funeral, your funeral, your funeral. But I'm not going to my funeral. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? Incredible. Pashanapi, so we're experienced also. Napashati, but we don't see. In other words, we're seen, but we're not seen. Pashati means to see. That's a literal translation of the word. And Prabhupada, in this particular verse, translated Pashati as experience. Isn't it? That's what you see there, right? Even though one is experienced, if you look at the word-by-word translations like that, even though one is experienced, he doesn't see. Or in other words, even though one has eyes, let them see. As Jesus Christ said, those who have eyes, let them see. So it's pretty amazing. So what do we get out of that? Of course, there's another verse, the first canto, fifth chapter, text 18. Kalena Sarvatra Gavira Ramasa. It's a very famous verse too, where Narada Muni is speaking, that because this time factor is so, let's say, all-enveloping, as Krishna displays in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Kalo Asmi, you know, I'm time, and I've come to, you know, kill everybody and destroy everything. Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham, I'm all devouring death. Because this time factor is so like that, Narada Muni says in 1.5.18, you have that verse in front of you? He says, one should not endeavor in this world of names. You want to read the whole translation there?
Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet of Brahmaloka down to the lowest planet Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time just as in the course of time we obtain mysteries, even though we do not desire them.
Very nice. So, in other words, based on that verse, whatever happiness and distress we're meant to get materially, we're going to get. That's going to happen automatically. I mean, whether we have an iPhone or we don't have any phone, the amount of happiness, that's it. It doesn't. The more you have, it's not that you get more happy. In fact, it causes more anxiety the more you have in this world, because you've got to take care of it, protect it, keep someone else from stealing it, right? Because if you have something, just like Sanatana Goswami, when he was escaping from prison, they had the 8 gold coins. And he wasn't in anxiety because he didn't know he had the 8 gold coins. So what happened is the innkeeper knew he had the 8 gold coins, or his servant had the 8 gold coins, and he was getting ready to kill him. And Sanatana Goswami just said, please take this money. And his servant kept one of the gold coins so that there would be no anxiety. Nobody would attack him. And so when you have wealth, then you're at anxiety. You have to take insurance policies and everything like that. So one should not over-endeavor in this world of names. So let's discuss what over-endeavor is, because if you take this particular instruction out of, I wouldn't say particularly out of context, but without a balanced approach, then you'll simply be walking around in a gumsha here in North Carolina, or even a gumsha you'll think is over-endeavor. And you'll probably end up in jail and you'll get a meal. They'll probably give you a vegetarian meal there. So one has to endeavor to a certain extent so that one's basic needs are met. We were talking about this yesterday. So we talked about Maslow's hierarchy of need, which is mentioned also in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Shikshamrita. So we do have some basic needs. And let's differentiate needs from desires, because we often conflate these two understandings. You know, I need this, I need that. No, it's a desire to perhaps fulfill a particular need. So we have certain needs, and so we should examine with intelligence what our needs are. And everybody's different. Prabhupada understood when he was preaching and bringing Western people to India that the Western people had, let's say, greater needs for material comfort than the people in India had, or the sadhus in India had. Of course, you can't say all people, because there's many wealthy people. Some of the wealthiest people in the world are in India, and they have like 20, 50, $100 million houses in the middle of Delhi. So Prabhupada understood that. Therefore, he wanted to construct comfortable places for the Westerners. So he understood there's different needs. People have different degrees of needs. I wouldn't say that people's needs are different in terms of the basic categories. I mean, obviously, we all have need for air, food, light, water, friendship, probably even said society, friendship and love, divinely bestowed by God upon man. So we all have these basic needs, but how to fulfill them, the strategy, will be different for each and every person. In other words, everybody has a particular quota. And so we, as aspiring spiritualists, should try to understand basically what is our basic need, and try not to go too far beyond that. In other words, like we were talking last night, I was talking with Tota Gopinath about people buying cars. It was a very interesting thing. There's this one, he was talking about this one boy who got a Honda Accord from his parents, right? Remember that story? He got a Honda Accord from his parents. And then he was thinking, I'm not saying it's a basic need to have an Accord. I'm just showing how our Avritam Gana Ganino Nichivayana Kamarupena Kuntiya Dushmarena Lenicha. You're never satisfied if you just start to give in to your lust. So he was thinking that I need some better car. You know, it was a new, practically new car, 2013 car. And he was thinking, I need a better car. And so he because he's in so much, let's say, a lusty situation, so much immersed in his desire for a Mercedes, you know, that he trades in his old car for half the value of which of what the old car was worth. I'm just how people are so crazy. And of course, Tota was telling me that when people get crazy like that, he advises his salesman not to tell the people who are buying the car that they're crazy, because that's how they make the money. I mean, it's definitely not a Brahminical occupation, because a Brahmin would actually, you understand, tell the person, "Hey, you know, you're stupid. You're losing your shirt. You're trading in your car. It's a $10,000. He traded in his car for $10,000. It's actually worth $20,000." And so, but he was just so greedy for more and more. Although the 2013 Honda Accord certainly fulfilled his needs. So, of course, we're not talking here about spiritual needs, obviously. So also we should be thinking the same, that, you know, what do we actually need? You know, what is our necessity? What are necessities? That's where that's connected with the word need. What is a necessity? And above and beyond that, it's an entanglement and a waste of time. So, we may need a nice bed to sleep on, but no, a four-poster bed may not be adequate, may not be appropriate. With like, was it like silk coming down from the sides and everything? Or that may not be necessary. So we should go through all these different categories. You know, obviously, we do need fresh air, so sometimes living in India doesn't fulfill that particular need. So we do need peace and quiet. We do need friendship. You know, these things are very important. I mean, we don't want, in the name of this verse, to become like complete, in a material sense, abadutas, you know, or crazy. Because actually, if these needs are not fulfilled, we do become crazy. We lose our sanity. And obviously, if we're imbalanced, I'm not talking about someone who's insane in the mental institution, then you won't be able to focus on the holy names. I mean, I know sometimes if it's too cold out, it's hard for me to concentrate on my japa, isn't it? Or if it's too hot, it's too, you know, we're not completely transcendental yet. So therefore, be aware of that, you know, so food, what do you need? And not too much, not too little, as Krishna says in the Gita. The yogi is he who eats too much, doesn't eat too much, doesn't eat too little, mityahara viharasya. Doesn't sleep too much, doesn't sleep too little. Everybody has to figure that out for themselves. But don't over-endeavor. Don't collect more than necessary, or eat more than necessary. These are causes of fall down. Or eat less than necessary. Or collect less than necessary. Of course, for Krishna, we can collect a lot. But we're talking about personal things. So there has to be, let's say, an intelligent way of applying the injunctions here about dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. You know, we do need a certain amount of those things. And don't be fanatic in applying these particular injunctions. And, of course, understand this world is temporary, as we mentioned before, and focus, maximize our hearing and chanting. That's the real point. Maximize the hearing, chanting, preaching of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people talk about a codicy, and you think you're going to get very advanced just by not eating and not drinking and then becoming so weak, dysfunctional, not only that day but the next day, that your hearing and chanting diminishes. That's the whole point. You just adjust all these things, you know, the dharma, artha, kama, moksha, eating, sleeping, to maximize the Krishna consciousness. So that's the standard. Okay? So any questions or comments about these? Yeah.
There was a philosopher in my family who once had a saying that money doesn't buy happiness, it simply makes misery more comfortable.
That's good. That's a nice saying. We should quote that. Yeah. 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 Yeah, the body belongs to Krishna. And actually he says in the Gita, those who, you know, torture the body and harass the super soul dwelling in within there are known as demons. So, you know, that's not our business. Our business is to keep the machine running. I mean, it's just like to engage in too much austerity is just like not changing the oil in your car. It's the same thing, you know. Just say, well, I'm trying to be austere, you know, not change the oil in my car or change the tires when they're bald. You know, we gotta be austere here. But what are you going to do? You're going to limit your service and perhaps die earlier if you do that and have to pay for a new car.
I think the example you gave the other yesterday about Prabhupada and the circumambulation of Govardhan Hill,
yeah.
You shouldn't do it barefoot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. Thank you for reminding me about that. Like Prabhupada chastised the devotees, not only circumambulation, but he chastised the devotees when they were just going to see him, and he was staying near Keshigat then, and the devotees walked barefoot, just like half a kilometer, not even around Govardhan, and he chastised them for being barefoot. That's interesting. And then also Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he circumambulated Govardhan, he wore shoes. And or sandals or whatever they had at that time. And people asked, you know, why are you wearing shoes? And he said, my feet are meant for serving Krishna. So in other words, we don't want to take the injunctions in these particular verses which I read out of context and do something that is counterproductive to our own Krishna consciousness. You know, sleep what you need. I mean, sometimes in the beginning of the movement, we had that, you know, because Prabhupada said anyone who sleeps more than 6 hours a night is in the mode of ignorance. You remember that? And so that's a general instruction. If you need more, you take more. But Prabhupada at a different time said if you're going to drive a car, sleep 8 hours. Because people were falling asleep and killing each other. So you take one instruction out of the context in which Prabhupada says it, and you apply it, and it can be very abusive towards devotees. So I remember we were going around, not only other devotees, I did it too. This is confession time. We go around and we just like chastise devotees because they slept more than 6, even children we would chastise. You know, you're in Maya, you're in the mode of ignorance, Prabhupada says. You know, so you can use quotes from Prabhupada to abuse other devotees. I mean, it's crazy. So you really have to understand Prabhupada's intention. So on that happy note, what's that? Get up! Well, I would throw water on people.